So, does this parable make sense to you? No. Me neither. Yes, in the parable, the landowner is God, and the kinds of things that he does doesn't really register, doesn't really make sense. Because after planting the vineyard, he leased it to his tenants. But when he sent the workers for the harvest, what did they do? They beat him, stoned him, and killed him. Okay? All right. So that's what they did. So then what does God do next? All right. I'll send more workers, I guess. Right? He sends even more workers. And then what happens? Same thing. Right? So have you ever heard the phrase, like, fool me once, shame on... Yeah, fool me twice, shame on... Yeah. And then fool me three times, you're just a fool. Right? Yeah, he's just a fool. I mean, send the workers, they kill him. I'll send more workers. And then he says, well, surely they'll respect my only son. Right? And then what do they do? Yeah, I could have told you that, you know. They kill him once, they'll kill him twice. They're going to kill him three times. Right? So how do you explain this nonsense? Right? Or people say, well, I can't really relate to this because it's like vineyards and I don't go to Napa Valley and, you know, I don't really care what they do in the vineyard because I don't go to the vineyard, you know? So how about like, do you have pets? Do you like your pets? Oh, yeah. So what if you, allowed a friend of yours to babysit your pet? What do you think? Right? So you let your friend babysit your pet, your dog or your cat, and then they beat the dog and kill the dog. You're like, okay. So are you going to send pet number two? Huh? Beat the dog and kill the dog. And then you're like, well, no, but I have my favorite pet. The pet that I don't allow even my parents to touch. My favorite pet, my favorite cat. And you're going to send your favorite cat to the same person that killed the other pets? Crazy. Crazy. Right? You probably go to jail nowadays if you do that. You know? So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't register. But the father's action, it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense if you think of it in terms of love. In terms of kind of this foolish kind of love. Kind of this radical kind of love. It's similar to, have you ever seen children who are so focused on something? Right? Like little children who are so focused on an activity. Like today we're playing soccer with these kids and we play for like 3 hours. And they don't want to stop. They're just focused on soccer. It's like, do you want a drink? No, I just want to play soccer. Right? Or these kids who are so focused on their video games. Right? It's like, hey, it's 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Do you want to eat something? No, no, no. How about, do you want to go outside? No, no. How about I'll take you shopping? No. You know, just so intense. They're in love with what they're doing. Or people who are foolishly in love, right? High school, there's a high school teenager dating a girl, a high school girl, teenager. She's dating a college student. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Trouble? Yeah. If you're the dad or the mom, would you allow that to happen? Absolutely not, right? And your parents tell you, honey, this is probably not a good idea. Common sense goes out the window, however. You are so in love with this college stud, right? And he probably doesn't even treat you right. He probably lied to you, treat you bad. Doesn't matter. You're so in love with this stud, right? Radically in love. Foolish. Or it's like Gina. I visited her yesterday. She has been married for over 30 years, and she has been taking care of her husband. Her husband who has dementia. Do you know what is dementia? Like Alzheimer's, not the same thing, but similar, right? You kind of start forgetting things, right? He's at a point, the dementia is so bad nowadays, he doesn't even recognize her as his wife. Right? Every day he looks at her and goes, "Who are you? What are you doing in my house? You are cute." Now, if you're in Gina's shoes, what would you do? What would common sense tell you? I'll tell you what I would do. If I was in Gina's shoes, I would say, you know, it was fun. Well, it was fun while it lasted, you know. But I mean, if you can't even recognize me as your wife, you know, one day I'm your servant, one day I'm your girlfriend, one day I'm your male person. I don't know how I can continue with this, right? But out of radical love for her husband, right? She has been taking care of him for the last 15 years and will continue to take care of him until death, right? Radical love looks a lot like the saint that we celebrated yesterday. Do you know who we celebrated yesterday, October 4th? Yes. My patron saint, St. Francis Assisi, right? He was praying at the church at San Damiano, and he heard Christ speak to him. "Francis, I want you to go and rebuild my church," right? "Take what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me," right? And, I mean, raise your hand if you have never heard of this phrase. "Take what you have, give to the poor, and follow me." Does that sound like something radical to you? I mean, everybody's heard of it. But it's only radical because he actually did it. You know what I mean? It's only radical because he actually did it, right? He embraced the sense of radical love by literally giving up all his glory, all his fortune, all of his success, stripping off his clothes, giving it to his father, preferring to live the life of a beggar, right? Radical. And in the parable today, the landowner, God the Father, loves us in that same sense of this radical love. It doesn't matter how many times we fail God. God just cannot help but continue to send his servants and then more servants and then even send his only son, Jesus Christ. And even then, we manage to fail God, like the tenants who kill the son. And even then, God cannot stop this sense of radical love because the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Even the result of our betrayal, our killing of Jesus becomes transformed into an act of love, of Jesus Christ becoming the cornerstone of our salvation, right? So that's how it is. No matter what we do, how many times we mess up in life, God never stops loving us. That is what God is. God is love, radically loving us every time we come to Mass, saying, "This is my body given up for you. This is my blood shed for you." But what is our response? What is our response to God's radical love for us, right? So this week, what I want you to do, and you could do not misquote me on this one, okay? What I want you to do is think of, do something crazy this week. That's right, you heard me. Do something crazy. But not the kind of crazy where, like, I have to bail you out of jail kind of crazy. Not the kind of crazy where you end up in the principal's office, you know. Not the kind of crazy where you're grounded, okay. Not the kind of crazy where you're grounded by your wife, okay. But the kind of crazy that imitates God's radical love for us. That kind of crazy, right? For example, okay. Forgiving someone that really did some bad stuff to you. Right? And you have all the right reasons. You have all the logical reasoning, right? And say, you could even write a book and saying how much this person's been bad to you, da 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 da. You have all the right justification. You are entitled to never forgive this person. But you're gonna do something crazy. Forgive. Radical love, right? Maybe it's stopping an addiction that you have. Not stopping just for Lent, just for a month, or whenever my parents are around, that's when I stop, okay? But boom, there it is. Stop. Cold turkey. Completely. Radical. Right? Or maybe it's about As we celebrate the month of October, you know, Pauline would know this because she's been here all day. The month of October is Respect for Life. The Respect for Life month. And maybe going back to this teenage girl, right? The teenage girl dating the college boyfriend, the stud, okay? What usually happens? Nothing good usually happens, right? And let's say she's pregnant. Oh, there it is. She's pregnant, right? All the logical reasoning, all the right reasoning tells you, well, I have a future ahead of me. I have to go to college. I have to work. I have to make a career out of myself. That's all the logical reasoning, right? Right? But do something crazy. Keep the baby. Respect life, right? Or many married couples, right? They say, well, I got kid number one, kid number two, kid number three. Okay, all right. It's getting very expensive. Man, kid number four? Are you kidding me? Right? I'm going to be broke. Right? All the logical reasoning tells you, I don't know if we could afford another one. Right? Or maybe you've had the perfect number of kids. What's an ideal number of kids? I don't know why, but they say two, you know. I don't know why, right? But two, we had a boy and a girl. And the boy and the girl, they're like 9, 10, 11 years old, growing. You can't wait for another 6, 7 years because it's an empty nest. And then your wife tells you, honey, I'm pregnant. Oh, what? What? You telling me I got to go through this all over again? Are you serious? Right? Logical reasoning tells you, let's take care of business. Right? But God tells you to do something crazy. Respect life. Give thanks to that gift. Right? Maybe it's about coming back to the church. Have you ever had a bad experience of church? Yeah. Right? Bad experience of church, right? Maybe you just come to church and just people were rude to you. Nobody say hi to you. Or the priest yell at you. Okay? Or gave you the face, you know, or maybe the choir sucked. I don't know. Or maybe the lector didn't proclaim correctly, you know, mispronounced a word, you know. Or maybe the altar servers were goofing around, you know. Or maybe the Eucharist minister had dirty hands. I don't know, you know. But it's just bad experience of church, you know. Bad experience, you know. And you have all the right reasons. Logical conclusion tells you, I don't need to come back to this crap, okay? But do something crazy. Come back. Or maybe it's making a decision as a family. Making a decision as a family to put God first, right? It makes complete sense to focus on all these other important things, right? Like school, extra school, tutoring, football, soccer, basketball, violin, piano, right? Soap opera, football time, girls' night out, whatever you got going on, shopping time. So many things to do. All the logical reasoning tells you, geez, I got to spend an hour at church? I got to like pray every day? Are you kidding me? Right? But do something, what? Yeah. Crazy. Do something crazy. And do something crazy that imitates this radical love that God the Father has for us this week. Okay? And I promise you, you're going to come across many things this week that you're going to be like, okay, it makes all the right sense. This is how it is. You're just, ooh, that's how it makes sense. But then you're going to do something crazy, out of the norm, out of the ordinary, out of common sense. Might throw you off a little bit, but try it.